Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Ryan Day prove anything on Saturday afternoon against Akron? Did he need to?
And the punishment that I think the cowardly NCAA needs to administer once and for all for the Maize and Blue.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Week one of college football in the books. Tone, you excited about it? Were you excited to watch?
I was. I tried to consume as much as humanly possible.
Well, guess what? I'm going to beat you to the punch because we had one of the great finishes in youth football history on Saturday afternoon. Do you want to hear about it or do you just want to move on to the college football?
How long are these games?
They're 8 minute quarters in the B game. We have a B team and a C team.
Running clock, non-running
clock.
Okay.
So they're 8 minute quarters. So, okay, let me try to explain this as quickly as I can. My son plays for the third and fourth grade team. All the coaches' sons play for the third and fourth grade team. There are no other fifth and sixth grade coaches except for us. So we are coaching two games. That's why I have to be careful about my voice on Saturdays.
Oh, man.
Because as you can hear, I'm a little... Can you tell I'm a little hoarse?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I'm a little hoarse. And it's always worse the second day than it is the first day after. So Saturday, third and fourth grade team, we won no problem. I was happy, excited about the effort. Nice. We're going into a bye week. Great way to go into a bye week.
Who's in charge of the schedule?
I don't know, man. We play 8 games in 9 weeks. I'm like, guys, this is grueling for children. Why are we doing this?
Was there a Wiggles concert on the field?
No, there's always a bye week, and I just go, why?
Didn't we have a bye week?
I go, we play one more. I think the JV or freshman team. When I played freshman football, we played like 7 games.
So JV generally is the Saturday morning at like 10 o'clock at the opposite field. If you were on the road varsity Friday night, JV is at home on Saturday.
There's some of them that play in
freshmen play on Thursdays generally.
There's some of them that play at 9 o'clock.
Oh,
oh yeah. Yeah, they want to get it out of the way. So, which is, whew, that's a quick turnaround. So we played the third and fourth grade game. One, I mean, it was just a solid game all the way around. We gave up a safety at the end because we don't know how to kneel. We're from the shotgun. We don't know how to kneel. And basically, our guy just got tackled on the end zone, so we gave up a safety at the end. But the game was never in doubt. The other game, the fifth and sixth grade game, which is always like the main event of the day, right? We're up 19-6. There are 4 minutes left to go. This was Browns Jets all over again. We are up 19-6.
I'm walking back to the parking garage.
You are back to the parking garage, like
starting to catch wind of what's going on.
I'm looking at who's going to play in the fifth quarter.
Right now,
I got my sheet out. You should see my sheet because everything I do is color coded. Like our show sheets are color coded. So they're going, "Why are you doing?" I'm like, I won't understand who to put in and who to take out. Unless it's color-coded. I have to have it that way. Thank God I'm not colorblind. So they get the ball. They run some play. Basically, the kid just steps up in the pocket and launches as far as he possibly can. This kid had a hell of an arm on him. And the kid is, he gets totally behind our coverage. This kid is wide open. Lima, he bobbles it. Has to be 6 times. Finally holds on to the thing. Runs in for a touchdown. All right, 19-12. 19-12, they don't get the extra point, so we're up by 7 still. We get the ball back. Now, you have the option to punt. We did not punt at our own 30-yard line. It was like 4th and 12. And the logic, I think, is, and I didn't ask our head coach, I'm not going to ask our head coach, is that, hey, we're not really good at punting anyway, so you might as well go for it and see if you can get it, because you might just punt it 7 yards anyway.
That's a waste of a play, yeah.
So it's a waste of a play.
They're making you punt?
They make us punt. Fifth and sixth grade.
We're fifth and sixth grade, too. You just go punt, and it's 25 yards.
It's the way it should be, but yeah, here we are.
Does somebody have to yell punt?
We used to.
When they told me on, I rolled my eyes every bit as hard as you did. I go, come on.
We really? Also kick extra points. They're from the 15. It's a 25-yard spot. It's worth two.
You guys can kick extra points?
For two points.
Does anybody make them?
It's a 20. I have a kid who's... I just did it yesterday at practice. He's 5'10", 180 pounds. He's going to be a killer.
Oh,
and he kicks extra points for my team.
We have the option
to kick extra points.
Off the block.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
So we give him the ball back at, like, we ran a play. We give him the ball back at our, like, 35-yard line. And I'm yelling, watch the play. They're going to do this again. They run the same play again and execute the same play again. This time they're down at the 2-yard line. They go in for a score. It is 19-18. They're going for two. They want the lead.
Oh.
Nobody's
staying late for this one. Huh?
They get the two-point conversion. A minute has come off the clock. There is just under 3 minutes left to go.
They left too much time, huh?
There's just under 3 minutes left to go. We blink and we are down 20-19. And everybody on the sideline shell-shocked. My son is water boy for the 5th and 6th grade game. I mean, he's just like, I cannot believe this is going on. I can't believe this happened. This kid, Taj, gets the ball in an end round. We try to throw the ball, nothing going. Second down, we try to do something in the middle, nothing going. He gets the ball in the end round. There's nobody home to the right. He runs all the way to the other side of the field, then back to the right again. He finds a crease. And he gets tackled, but as he's getting tackled, the kid comes down in the face mask. We get an extra 15 yards.
Oh,
you can see me chasing this kid down the sideline.
Matriculating.
Oh, yeah.
Did he run like 70 yards?
So we have,
exhausted?
We have just over a minute left. We have one timeout. We run another play. We get another first down. We have the ball at like the 20-yard line. Use the timeout. We got no timeouts left. So we're like, hey, we got to go. We try to throw one. Doesn't work. Second down. We get into a scenario. There are 35 seconds left and no timeouts. We run and we're going, hey, we're going to have to run two here. You got to go. We try to run a run on second down. Nothing. The clock is running. My head coach calls a pass. As the clock ticks down, we left 2 seconds on the clock. This kid, Art Noah, this quarterback, rolls to his right. And just flutters one up. It's a pretty good pass, I'll admit. Taj, between two defenders, over his head in the end zone, catches this ball. The place goes ape. We got a penalty because one of our kids got so excited he took his helmet off, Dwayne Red style. They gave us the touchdown.
Oh, okay.
They gave us the touchdown.
Thank God.
I'd hate to see Bottlegate out there.
We had to do the extra point from like the 15. Or wherever, I think it was a 10-yard unsportsmanlike, whatever it was. Might have been 20.
These
been
high seas pack a wallop.
We're up 25-20.
Ecto cooler.
We did a prevent defense. We showed them how to do a prevent. We're like, guys, everybody else is behind him. Do not. We're rushing one person. Just do this, okay? And man your zone. Kid throws a Hail Mary. Way under throw. We end up getting the interception. We win the game. I mean, it was almost how the Jets game went. We went 25-20. I mean, we were going nuts. Absolutely bonkers.
And that's
one of the great endings I've ever seen.
Game one?
It's game two.
Oh,
I wasn't there for game one. I was in Seattle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we're 2-0 with both teams right now. But we're going into a real tough part of the schedule coming up.
Who's next?
We have Norton coming up next.
Norton!
And that's next week. So I have this week off, which I might go watch him play. I'm not sure. And then we have Norton, Ellett. Is really good. That's, you know, the neighborhood in Akron. Manchester, the Fighting Panthers, Zach Jackson's. Cuyahoga Falls is in there. Woodridge is in there, but I'm not sure they're on our schedule. Coventry's in there. Oh, we got to go to Chippewa. We have to go from Portage County to Wayne County on a Saturday morning. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't have enough teams
so
up
here's
here.
The other thing.
We play at the high school stadium there, though, so at least that's nice.
Yeah, so in our league, we actually, you have host sites, so they just play football at this host site all day.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I've got the unfortunate 8 a.m. game on Saturday for the first game of the year. It's in Westlake, but it's against Olmsted Falls.
Okay.
Which is nice that I'm not driving all the way to Olmsted Falls.
Yeah, this is better.
For an 8 a.m., you know, I'm still going to have to leave the house by 6:45.
Yeah.
Wait. But, oh, yeah. You got to get there early. Yeah.
Ours is 10:30.
You don't just fly
I'm
out of the car.
I'm not a fan, Anthony.
Yeah. Ours is 10:30. So thank you for letting me tell that story. It was a great story. Thank you.
I mean, it's...
Wasn't that great a story, but at least I'm happy to tell it.
It's just crazy to think about, like, I'm looking at my son going, is he going to be good at any of this?
He'll be good.
Is he going to want to do any
His
of this stuff?
His mom's an athlete. You played basketball. He'll be good.
He'll be fine.
He'll be a good athlete. Trust me. And by
just
that time, they'll be
his way.
They'll all be wearing Guardians caps, so you can be able to let them play football.
This does sound,
I'm not even joking, by the way.
This does sound way more entertaining to watch in baseball than Little League.
Oh, Little League baseball can be a blast. It can be a blast. It's just, I already know we're getting to the age where it's going to get really competitive here. So
it was a blast because your team won the championship.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you're on a good team.
My team won the championship this year. It was great. My 12-year-old's team was the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
It was not a blast.
It's true. That's actually a good point. Like, there were a couple of teams, like, we got done, like, we would mercy rule them. And there
I'm
was,
sure if you interview those parents afterwards, they would not say blast.
There's a term that gets thrown around that people get very triggered by. It's called daddy ball.
What's that?
It's where you put your kid at the best positions and just leave him there because he's your kid. And a lot of guys get accused of daddy ball.
Oh, my God. I would do the opposite. I would do the opposite. I would want nothing to do with that.
You don't want the pressure on your kid?
It's especially right. if the kid ain't that good.
Yeah.
My kid is, he starts on the football team. And wide out, and they barely throw the ball. No. I'm one of the coaches on the baseball team, too.
I gave the breakdown of his catch.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty glowing on it, right?
Owen was very complimentary of the catch. He's just a football kid.
Let's see him do it again, though, Axe.
Yeah, well,
Now defenses have tape on him.
My comp to him is Wayne Corbett, for obvious reasons.
I wonder.
Was he the one that wrote... No, he wasn't the one that wrote the book. The book...
Who?
The Wayne Corbett. The book was, who's the receiver?
The Hatchet.
I didn't do it, but if I did it, this is how I do it.
No, that's OJ. Oh. No, the throw me the damn ball. Wasn't that?
That was Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
People always confuse
and weren't
them,
they
both great Jets
No,
receivers.
No, but weren't they ripping? Wasn't he ripping Wayne Corbett in the book?
I don't remember, probably.
I thought that was the thing. Okay.
Yeah, my son's going to get ripped in some book that I write. Yeah, he's just a football player. But Axel, like when we were in the playoffs, Axel played his 2 innings. That he's required to play, and he did not deserve any more. And if I thought he deserved any more, I'd say something. But he didn't.
I can already tell I'm getting frustrated with Isabella and her lack of basketball instinct right now. So I think I'm going to be the opposite of whatever the daddy. What do you call it? The daddy ball. Daddy ball. I'm
gonna
be the opposite.
Be daddy issues.
Oh, I mean, they think I'm too hard on.
She's
Axel.
2 years old, and I'm already very. I mean, she's just dunking the basketball, and I'm like, yeah, defenses aren't going to allow that. You're going to have to start to learn some other shots.
Yeah, they already think I'm too
She hard hasn't on. Developed any sort of a dribbling.
No, none of what she's doing is applicable to the actual high school varsity basketball.
On. She'll get the prowess of it. She'll be fine.
I have a guy. I'll give you his contact when we're off the air. Guru. Take her out. I mean, what's she doing right now? She could be in a gym right now.
Right, yeah, she's not taking it seriously enough.
So did Ryan Day prove anything on Saturday? Did he need to prove anything on Saturday?
I think he proved that going and getting the top receiver in the country is probably a good move. Holy cow, is that dude a freak? It was Akron, so the expectations, you know, I'm thinking about because I'm going to have Akron in 2 weeks, and I'm like, all right, the Akron I had the last few years, they got no pressure on anybody, and all of a sudden they're getting pressure on Ohio State in the first half. Now I think Ohio State was very blah and whatever. But I was not impressed with the offensive line. Andy Baskin walked over to me because I think he does a post-game show. Walked over to me right between shows and goes, I was with you. Ohio State's offensive line, not impressive.
I did not think it was. I think they're very vanilla.
That could be. Yeah.
I think that it was week one. there was, I don't think there was anything to be concerned about. And if they continue to do this throughout the season, like, who do they have this week?
And like, who do they?
Yeah, you don't even know.
No, I don't know.
What
have
a
no
big
idea.
Fan you are.
Well, they're favorite by 50 again.
Yeah, probably. If they continue to do this here, because like some of it is a ramp up. If you continue to do this, then I think I have a problem with it. But like Michigan's offensive line, I think, had problems on Saturday.
Oh, Western Michigan.
Okay, so if they continue to do it against Western Michigan and further after that, then I would think it would be a concern. I'm just not concerned about things I see week one. Unless you go out there and lose. Yeah. Like Florida State, I think, is hitting a panic button right now, and rightfully so. Which, speaking of Florida, did you see the Gators and Hurricanes on Saturday at all? You didn't have much reason to watch after the first half.
Right. I did. I did see some of it. I saw the highlights absolutely afterwards.
So who's going to replace Billy Napier?
It's, what, Lane Kiffin,
because they've already
right?
quit.
It's going to be Lane.
Oh, did you see he put up 70?
Yes.
You got to make it look good for the the boosters.
Yeah.
I got a wild ass idea.
Go ahead, Dion.
Mike Norvell.
Okay, let's hear it.
Mike Norvell. They won't let him out of that ACC contract.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State is frustrated. I think that they do have a little bit of a hangover. I don't think they're as good. I think they lost a bunch of guys. And DJ Uiagalelei is just not it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. Actually, no, he's an NIL player, so I can say whatever I want, really.
That's true. Gloves are off. Let's go.
His air yards are not good. It's not that he can't. I've never seen him even volunteer to do it. He will not throw the ball across the middle. It just won't happen.
Yeah, and so, if he's not doing it at this stage.
And I've seen him. I watched a little bit of the first half this morning. The platforms.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off. Everything's off. I think the pressure's gotten to him. I think the pressure of being from Clemson out to, I think the only place that he actually was able to perform was when he was out west, because there was no pressure on him out west. He goes to a place where there's pressure on him to perform. He can't do it. I'm sorry. He cannot live up to the expectations. He wasn't able to do it at Clemson. He's not able to do it right now at Florida State. The only place that he could, I'm telling you, man, if he transferred somewhere else to a place where football is not as important, I think he'd do fine. I think he gets rattled. I think he gets nervous. These are big moments, big games. And he knows he's supposed to go out there and beat Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech is a pretty decent football team, I think, this year. I watched a little bit of them against Georgia State. I thought that they were okay. But like, and what I mean by decent, I think that Georgia Tech could win seven, eight games. I mean, that's a bowl team. That's a legitimate bowl team. And for them, that's a really nice season. But for Florida State, you know you're expected to beat BC. BC has been an uncompetitive team. That is one on the margins, if that. I mean, they had a nail biter last year against Holy Cross. I watched while I was painting my office. That was rough.
But the reality,
and I know they got a new coach, but
there was nothing worse this weekend. If you are a college football fan and you were a fan of the Florida Gators, there was nothing worse than losing that game the way you did.
I disagree, only for the simple fact that you know that's it. Like you're not bringing back you're not bringing back Billy Napier.
So you think this expedites?
Yeah, yeah.
That whole process.
But your worry is you have. If I'm them, I'm breaking the glass on DJ Lagway now and going, let's go, because I got to be able to bring you back next year.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, they're already.
That's what people forget about.
Bud Elliott.
If there's a coaching change.
It's Cover 3. Yeah, it's Cover 3 podcast. which is on in the Odyssey family. But Elliott's already got him going to Texas A&M next year. And I'm thinking, man, you got to just break the glass on and play the kid now. Graham Mertz, I know what I'm getting with Graham Mertz. Nothing too outstanding, nothing too crazy. You're playing him for what? What are you playing him for? You're afraid you're going to lose games? He's going to turn the ball over? Just play DJ Lagway and get it done. I don't know who they have next week. I don't know who they have after that. I don't know Florida's schedule inside and out. But I'm going, what are you holding on to for? But my big thing is, and it's a wild theory, Florida State can't get out of that conference. It's a prohibitive contract. Mike Norvell was as upset as anybody. They couldn't get in the playoff last year. Florida desperately wants a coach. You can say whatever you want to after this year about Mike Norvell and the Florida Gators. I know it's probably not going to look good. They can still get to 7-6 or whatever. Hell, they can still get to 9-3, for crying out loud. It's Florida State. But you'd say whatever you want to about Mike Norvell and Florida State after this year. It's like, man, you know Mike Norvell can build. And they're building, I think, what are they doing? $300 million worth of renovations to Ben Hill Griffith Stadium? So it's a fun theory. It won't happen. I know it won't happen. But I'm going, Mike Norvell's right there.
It was nice to see Drew Aller get things going after a little bit of a sluggish start.
Really nice passes, though, in that game.
He did. I mean, he finally took him a little bit of time. There's some slow starts all around college football this week.
Yeah.
Hell, that Georgia-Clemson game. First half,
I go, how did this thing, because I didn't watch it live.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did this thing get to 34-3?
Yeah, well.
And then I saw the second half, and I go, okay, this is how it got to 34-3.
Yeah, you saw what happened. Dabo, I mean, we have spent 2 years talking about Dabo Swinney being behind the times, being reluctant to advance, you know, evolve the era of Clemson football. And you're going up against Georgia, and it just, you could see it. You didn't need to know the score. Watch the second half. You saw it. They didn't belong on the same field with them.
I don't understand the hesitancy, the no transfer stuff. I mean, you remember, like, that's how our former friend who used to work at this station ended up doing Clemson games on tape delay TV back in the day. Was that the 81 championship team that they put together was riddled with NCAA violations recruiting. It's like, guys, they will play the game. They have no problem in playing the game. I don't understand why you won't play the game.
It's simple.
Especially now that it's all legal.
You're going to have to hire a GM, which is obviously what the SEC schools are starting to do. You're going to have to hire a GM, and Dabo's got to break this, or I'm telling you, the pressure will be there for him to step aside.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen.
For
those fans, I mean, to be that dispirited 1 week into the year, into the college football season, is really bad.
But it's more of the same. And the sad thing is, I wish you were here to talk about this last week, is that Dabo's not taking live calls anymore on his radio show. Nope. They're screening calls now, and I think you can leave like a voicemail, basically like what we have with the coming in hotline, but they screen them all. And after that loss, you're not going to want to take any calls this week.
I got to give credit. I hate to do this, only because I like their head coach, Notre Dame. Notre Dame. That was again. They have. I mean, penalties. Way too many penalties.
Mm-hmm.
At times, you're like, did they even look that well coached? But you win that game on the road. The humidity was off the charts, like over 100 degrees, and they handled it better than Texas A&M. So I was impressed, and that's all Notre Dame needed to do. They're in the playoff now. I mean, ring it up. Notre Dame is the first team that has clinched the playoff spot in all of college football the new expanded playoff format.
They're in.
They are 100% in. So other than that, USC was fun. It looked like USC has defense, but now it's one game. But they did not have that defense last year. I saw some people saying some ridiculous things about Caleb Williams and wondering if the current quarterback...
That defense was
garbage. No, it's that you have a defense now. You have a defense.
Yes.
Or at least the makings of what looks to be...
Because this is when you don't watch the games and you just... Like, there's people who just don't watch... Because it's West Coast, by the way. So they're not staying up to watch them. They're doing other things. But you just blame everything on Caleb Williams and say, because you want to say Caleb Williams isn't that good. That's what you want to do. Anybody watching knew, I mean, they hired and fired a defensive coordinator before the year and then during the year.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen. When That's how frustrated that they were with their defense. So they finally seem to have, now it's week one, they finally seem to have something together on defense. I thought USC's quarterback was good down the stretch watching that game. I watched that game back yesterday. I got to tell you, though, How am I looking with my Garrett Nussmeier pick? How am I looking? Kid looked good, did he not?
He did look good.
Did he look good? Because I was like, he might be the first quarterback taken, and he is on nobody's lists. And I'm going, man, that kid, I've heard nothing but good things about that guy. I've been hearing some great things about that guy. I go, I wonder if there's something special. And he played real well. Played real well. How fake was the Brian Kelly fist pound?
Oh, it's embarrassing. I mean, it is. And I feel, I gotta say, how is a
coach that disingenuous, that successful?
Something's off here. Brian Kelly is not a good college football coach. He is an extraordinary college football coach. I'm telling you, I strongly believe that. And you can go way back. He's got one of these amazing resumes where he does spectacular things everywhere he goes. And I said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when at LSU. And no, it is not. Like, there is something that is just not there. Because that guy can coach.
It's hard, man.
That guy can coach. And I didn't think recruiting would be any kind of an issue at LSU. So I'm at a loss, kind of like he's at a loss. Like, how this is the case.
It's because you're at LSU and you recruit well, but you know, they got deep pockets too. Georgia has deep pockets. And you're in the same pool as them. And like, you got Ohio State in your backyard. It's hard, man. I think it's really, really hard. It is as cutthroat as it's ever been. You know, Cardale Jones saying it's a $20 million roster. Nick Saban saying what he said. Urban saying that, hey, you better pay the right players, which is a great gag about his Florida days. It's such a hard job. Like, this is going to be weird to say. At Notre Dame, there is a standard to get in. Like, you're taking – there are kids that might be a little bit marginal – but they're not marginal like what LSU deals with or what Georgia deals with or what Ohio State deals with. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their margins are, hey, you know, he's kind of got an A-minus average, B-plus average. You know, he wasn't in Model UN. Can we take this kid? Like, that's their margins. And so when you go to a place like that and you win 10 games a year, you're going to be seen as a great success, but because they are Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwestern on steroids. So that's a hell of a coach. But now you want to go there where you have a big budget. It's about winning. You want to win a national championship, but man, it's still difficult because you're getting a bigger boat, but you're in a bigger lake with really high quality opponents that you're recruiting against all the time. And now when you throw in the money, like, all it takes, like, I'm waiting for Phil Knight. I know he said he's already going to throw it at him. So, Oregon's right around the corner, which, boy, they had a rough game against Idaho.
24-14.
Yeah, Oregon had a rough one about it. But you're waiting for Phil Knight to throw all his lot in for the next recruiting class. And now, again, you have to recruit your own players. And I'm actually surprised a guy as disingenuous as Brian Kelly comes off how successful he's been, because he's been a very successful coach. I mean, he's coached in a national championship game before.
I know it happened on Thursday, so it's been a while now. But how about the atmosphere in Boulder?
Awesome.
And it's incredible. Awesome. It's incredible because so many people are rooting against Deion, and so many people are rooting for Deion in such a way that it just makes for spectacular theater. They're not great. I mean, Colorado's not great. They're going to lose a bunch of games.
I thought they could have lost to North Dakota State, and they almost did. But
they almost did. It's Nebraska this week. Our old friend Dylan Raiola.
Oh, yeah, Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, looking more and more like Patrick Mahomes. Every time he goes out there, he literally tries to look like Patrick Mahomes and tries to play like Patrick Mahomes, but he's pretty good. Like, this Nebraska thing is going to get interesting.
Matt Rhule is, I think they're going to be finally a bowl team this year, which I don't know if that matters. They'll be a bowl team. We'll see what they get out of him. We'll see what they do against Colorado. I think a lot of people are rooting for Nebraska for the first time they have since, oh God.
And that game's in Lincoln, right?
Yeah. I hated Nebraska when they had Tom Osborne.
I did too.
I respect Nebraska when they had Tom Osborne, but I hated him. Obviously, Owen hated him.
I hated both of these teams.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Oh, that's right.
And I still hate one of them.
Colorado was good with Coach Mack back in the day. So there you go. By the way, did you see Iowa State?
That was the one thing.
21-3, they showed nothing.
Yeah.
Showed nothing. And I looked at Twitter.
Who did they play?
Twitter's insufferable. They played North Dakota.
Okay.
The game we went to.
Same thing.
When they played Northern Iowa, and people were like, oh, my God. I'm like, they'll win. It did get a little too close for comfort. I'll grant you that. But I go, they're going to show nothing. Where Iowa put it all out there.
It did.
How about that? 40 points. And not just a season, in a week.
In a game, yeah. Offensive explosion right there.
Cy-Hawk going to be a game you're paying attention to next week?
Wait, Kirk Ferentz didn't coach that game, did he?
No.
Okay.
Well, he did. But they went out and they got themselves an OC.
That's not next week, is it?
They got Cade McNamara. That game is next week. Oh,
whoa,
yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
Right.
Cy-Hawk, babe. Week two.
Excited about that. Absolutely.
We've only won one of them. Have only won one of them against Iowa.
Yeah, that was the game I missed. So I did not see Iowa State. I saw they won, but I missed that. It's great to have college football back, and then it gets swallowed up by the NFL this week. Because not only do you have NFL on Thursday, you have it on Friday. Then you have it on Sunday and Monday.
Did you have any other observations of week one before we let you go? Before we let the listeners go.
Yeah, Michigan, I was surprised starting quarterback. I thought it was going to be Orgy, and it was the other dude. And that one was close for a while. And then Michigan made a big defensive play. That pick six was awesome. Just a great play. And I told you, I said it on the air, the Michigan stuff is fascinating. As they get, you know, the speculation they're going to get hammered, which I don't think they will, by the NCAA, that they've become this just open joke around college football after the greatest team they've had since 1997. Guys like Keith Britton can say they don't care, but they're the ones spending the most time on Reddit defending Michigan single day.
You're right about that.
It's got to be painful for them. And what, they play Texas this week?
Yes.
I mean, that's going to be just an awesome scene.
That documentary was amazing. Did you see the documentary yet? It's great.
So good, Anthony. If you guys are telling me to watch it, I'll watch it.
The Steve McNair one was sad, but it went nowhere.
It went nowhere.
It was a waste. The McNair, I was just going to say that. It was a waste of time.
Total I don't want to be nasty about it, but you guys are right.
Total waste.
But that, did you watch Connor Stallions one yet?
I did watch it, and I loved it.
So good.
It's like, come on, Netflix. If you're going to exploit a tragedy, do it awesomely. And they did not do it awesomely. Yeah,
we got to nothing, and then all of a sudden, like, this is over?
Yeah.
Well, you guys told me nothing I didn't already know. Like,
right.
I didn't know anything.
Now, the Connor Stallions one, though.
That was good stuff.
You get pieces that I never thought we'd get.
3,000 different signs that he had in a thing.
Yeah.
3,000 of them. I think there's an imbalance there. I think the man needs to seek therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Jason ripped him up and down. Talked about how unlikable Connor Stallions is. I'm like, man, did we watch the same documentary? I kind of felt bad for the guy.
I saw a lot of people saying that. Now I got to get around to actually seeing it. Last week was a rough one, so.
His father was more unlikable to me than he was.
Agreed. It did seem like he was. Well, his father made him that way.
Absolutely.
It seemed like he was a pariah in his own area, but I don't think he has any problems getting in there.
No.
I don't think he has any problems getting in there in a disguise. I don't know if he can just go in as Connor Stallions and they're just going to like let him in. I don't know how that's all going to work. Because they're still kind of going through it with the NCAA.
I think the NCAA wanted to get serious about punishments.
Okay, well, good luck.
This sounds so silly. I think this would mean more. I think they need to ban Hail to the Victors for a year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.